you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 189 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyro, your host once again. Today, my guest is Joe Bernstein. Now, Joe, as you'll find out very quickly, is not an attorney. He's a coach, but not a legal coach. He's more of a lifestyle coach. And in particular, he works a lot with men predominantly, but also women who are going through divorce and or custody situations. And he works with a lot of attorneys who have clients that are experiencing that challenge in their lives. And what Joe has done is developed over the course of several years an approach to coaching and development and empowering that has benefited thousands of people and helps them become the better person, the better version of themselves. And I think what you're going to hear today in this discussion is his focus on going forward in the situation and creating a value system and an approach to achieving that that would benefit a great many clients if they were to take advantage of that. So if you're a family law practitioner or really anybody who has clients that need to work on themselves, and you're not that attorney who feels they're capable of dealing with the interpersonal relationships that the client has to work on to develop to become the better person and achieve a better legal result, then you could do a lot worse than to work with someone like Joe to see that your clients get that kind of value. So I think it's a real nice compliment to the legal space. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to chat with Joe. And I hope you get as much out of this conversation as I did when I had it with him. So without any further delay, here's Joe Bernstein. Joe Bernstein, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Oh, thank you, Neil. I'm excited to be here. Really grateful for the opportunity to speak with you and your audience.
Well, terrific, Joe. For the audience benefit, Joe and I know each other from a group here in the Washington, D.C. area that I've spoke about many times, Cadre D.C., and it started by a former guest of the show, Derek Coburn, and his wife, Melanie. So I know your background story, Joe, but why don't you take a few minutes to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today?
Great. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll kind of start with where things fell apart for me. I was 31. I was in a situation where I'd been married for a few years. I had a good career under me that I had been in about 10 years and felt pretty successful in. And life was starting to iron out and look smooth. But between my wife and I, things were getting a little unsmooth. And so we were going through some couples counseling, and basically, there was a day just after New Year's 2013, she'd skipped a session because of some work thing, and I finally, for the first time in our relationship, really spoke up and asked for what I wanted, which was her to be more engaged in kind of saving our marriage and maintaining the life that we had. And that was actually the moment that she asked for divorce.
So, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, right. And honestly, a lot of my work is to help people in the world not be so careful what they ask for, to go after the things they want. Because what I learned in that moment was actually I was holding on to a lot in life that didn't really feel good. It didn't really feel the way I wanted to. But from a very young age, I had learned to kind of take the easy routes, play it safe. do the things in life that would get me from point A to point B, not rock the boat too much, not speak up for myself too much. And what it ended up meaning was, even though I had a career that looked good and I was in a relationship that on paper and on Facebook looked good, I was pretty unhappy and I had kind of limited what I thought was possible for myself. So luckily, that was the moment actually that after a few days of really, you know, playing the pity party and reveling in the grief of that, I woke up and felt like, well, you know what? I do a job. I was a retail sales manager for Bose, a luxury company that had really high standards. I do a job where it's all about helping people understand their values, understand what they want, and create solutions. And as the leader in these stores, I was always tasked with the idea of taking full responsibility for the outcomes of the stores. And even if that meant shifting people's mindset and skill set to create what we wanted, and it was almost like the work Joe just came online and took over the personal life Joe. Mm-hmm. And I decided I was going to take responsibility for all the things that had gotten me to that point in life. And that meant responsibility for learning about relationship and love and actually do dating well with some confidence and to work on all of the inner work around my mindset, my emotions that were really keeping me from what I wanted. And also learning to take care of my body. I grew up well overweight. And, you know, in my 20s, I was very, very, very heavy, about 160 pounds bigger than I am now. And that was the point where I decided, instead of feeling like I'm a failure and I've lost everything, I'm going to make my life exactly what I never imagined it could be. So essentially, after making a whole bunch of change in the body, change in the social life, change in the way I saw the world around possibility and kind of naturally healing my own anxiety through mindfulness and through exercise and through nutrition and through mindset work, I just decided, you know, I have all these skills for leading people. I have all these skills for understanding more of what's going on under the surface. And I'm going to start using them for good, to help people change the world. So at one point, I just set out and decided I'm going to coach people. Specifically, I'm going to coach men around being able to change the parts of their life that doesn't work. And I'm really blessed. I'm really excited. And I love the work that I do. And you know, I find that no matter what your story is, there's a lot of crossover around learning to take responsibility and learning to become more mindful and aware of who we are inside to change our outside world.
So if our audience hasn't, you know, caught on to the fact yet, let's make it real clear. Unlike a lot of our guests in the past, you're not an attorney.
And right.
we've had other coaches on, but they're normally coaching people in terms of building their legal practice.
Right.
One of the things I think is fascinating about you and the work that you do is the fact that it does really kind of intersect with the legal world and the legal market, in the sense that you spend a lot of time working now with predominantly men, but not exclusively, mm-hmm. who are going through some of those same challenges that you went through. And it's interesting when I look at it from from our audience perspective, you really have a firm foot on both sides of the fence. So in the mm-hmm. one sense, you're helping men and women who are going through divorce or custody issues,
yeah.
and helping them, you know, deal with that and become and be the best person they can be. Mm-hmm. And similarly, you know, when we talk about burnout and stress and eating disorders and substance abuse, those are all things that, sadly and frankly, a lot of attorneys have firsthand knowledge of.
Yeah.
So while it might seem that you're a different type of guest for our show, I think it's really kind of a sweet spot for an area that we've not spent a lot of time talking about on the program. So that's one of the reasons why I'm delighted to have you with us today. So let's talk a little bit about, before we get into the divorce aspect, the whole concept of mindfulness and
yeah.
and getting the most out of one's own life and dealing with stress and dealing with eating disorders. Tell us a little bit about your journey in that regard and how you work with people to overcome those challenges.
Right. Absolutely. So one of the things I learned And actually, I'm going to slow down. And thanks for having me, because it is very different. I've listened to several of the podcasts. I've checked out who you have. When you do have coaches, they're often business practice building coaches. And essentially, I've learned that when I have people who are business owners, they've got the coach, the consultant around the business, but they also connect with me, or they've got therapists or men's groups or women's groups, whoever, where they can actually balance their life, work on balancing their life. So mm-hmm. It's really important. So it's an act of leadership to, you know, bring someone on who's outside of the legal realm in this way from you. So thank you. And really what I learned was I had created a life that was based around anxiety. I was living my life through a lens of fear. And what I learned is that's actually the reason why my body and my weight was out of control from a young age. That's also the reason why I never had great love relationships, or I was not very confident in the world of dating, or I didn't think that I could have this like really powerful and fulfilling career. It was all actually about not understanding that I come to this world pretty sensitive in body and mind. And what I've learned in helping people is that a lot of us are much more sensitive in body and mind than we think. And we're living this lifestyle where it's expected to prioritize work over everything. And that means that we're always looking for, you know, outside validation. We're always looking for some sort of approval. We're always moving very fast. We're rushing around and trying to do a million things. In today's world, because of technology, there's so many tools and shortcuts, but there's also so many distractions. And so what I really do with people, no matter what we're working on, whether it's, you know, people going through a divorce and they want to recreate a vision for their life and start building a life towards that and go through the divorce experience as smoothly as possible, or whether it's someone who really does want to take a hold of their overall wellness and their weight and their health, we really deepen into something that a lot of people don't think consider part of mindfulness, but to me it's foundational to mindfulness, which is values. Really understanding our values so that we can actually use mindfulness techniques to know when we're starting to take action or think thoughts that are out of alignment with our values and priorities. So I do a lot of work to help people identify that. I'm also going to do a lot to influence people to start to create some healthy routines. It doesn't matter if you have 3 hours in the morning or you have 15 minutes in the morning. I'm going to challenge people to always, you know, claim a little bit of movement, even if it's a quick walk around the block, a little bit of mindfulness, whether that be using one of the many mindfulness apps or just doing 5 minutes of breathing quietly, you know, without stimulation. And you know, of course, additionally, I always like to have people learn something that's outside of their trade or their normal daily skill set, because that learning mind is really actually important to engage healthy thinking, creativity, responsibility, you know, curiosity. These are really, really important for all of us, no matter where we are in life.
So I'm really interested in hearing you acknowledge the fact that most of us come from a position of sensitivity and vulnerability that you know, really influences the direction of our lives and how we progress. And let's face it, the legal community, and particularly solo practitioners, you know, sensitivity and vulnerability are not adjectives that you normally associate with the branding of a law firm. I mean, so many attorneys feel like they have to project this sense of invulnerability and you know, an armor to shield against the challenges of the profession, which are many, admittedly, you know, and they create a persona or a version of themselves that is oftentimes inconsistent with who they are and not really getting them what they want. Being the hard ass, you know, take no prisoner, fight to the death type of attorney, particularly in something like family law, doesn't always get the best results. And so I'm encouraged that your viewpoint is to kind of look beneath that and really address the underlying sensitivity and vulnerability that we all have.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that one of the things that helps us go astray in life and in business and in relationships is wanting to put on the front that we're so powerful and we're so armored up and we're so strong all the time. You have to actually be really strong and really powerful to start to look at the places where you're sensitive, to start to look at the places where you're vulnerable. You have to be courageous. And in fact, what it's all about is being more efficient, more powerful, more capable of success. Because when I'm just trying to always put, you know, like a Band-Aid over a problem, I continuously break down over time. But when I try and look at the roots of what's really going on and I start to solve the problem at the root level, then I'm actually much more powerful. You know, I think about like time management. People talk a lot about like, well, just find ways to multitask and do more and do this and do that. Actually, sometimes it's just admitting that you don't have the capacity to multitask well, so you need to outsource stuff. Sometimes it's recognizing that it causes you a lot of stress to check email for hours, so you limit the amount of time that you spend on email. You know, it's really actually not that. It feels revolutionary to recognize that we're all sensitive beings, but it's not that revolutionary. We're always kind of solving for it. We're caffeinating, or we're using alcohol to be more charming, or we're sleeping in when we know we could be doing strong, you know, things to help our body or help our mind. We're avoiding that certain person that we don't want to talk to because we're not good in conflict. These are all just symptoms of us being human. And when we let ourselves be more human, it's actually a courageous act that makes us more functional, stronger, and more efficient.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also encouraged by your viewpoint in terms of trying to kind of challenge those that you work with to establish that routine, that daily routine, mm-hmm. that enhances their ability to cope with being an attorney or just going through the legal process of a divorce. And you know, that morning routine, we often hear about that encapsulated in terms of things that an entrepreneur does in order to be right. successful. You know, get that 5 o'clock morning routine down, and and your entrepreneurship will take off. And I like it that your perspective is not so much the entrepreneur business owners benefiting from that practice, but the underlying individual themselves, their own personal well-being, improving as a result of daily exercise and mindfulness and meditation and just breathing and really practicing something outside of the law. You know, learning a skill. I struggled to learn to play the guitar. And I think, you know, those kinds of things are really important to balance out that mental aspect of the practice of law and the challenge of going through a divorce.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for seeing that, and thanks for hearing that. You know, whether we're talking about being dad or mom or lawyer or business owner, it's really about, you know, how calm, how clear, how confident do we walk through this world, and the results will come as a byproduct of that. So yeah, doing the work foundationally on body, mind, spirit, you know, attention, because that's what really mindfulness is it's learning to cultivate attention and learning to be in the moment. That only makes us better all across the board.
You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. And one of the things that I struggle with personally, and I know great many others do, is this whole concept of nutrition and eating and how we use food and how we view food. And yours is a, well, first off, it's a tremendous personal story, losing over 160 pounds. But what I really like is there's a large component of what you do is the psychology, centers around the psychology of eating.
Yes. Yeah. Because every one of us, you know, it doesn't matter if we have been skinny all of our lives or if we've put on weight as we've aged or like me, you know, kind of young. I was chubby at 3 years old and I was over 300 pounds by the time I was 16. So it doesn't matter where you stand. Almost all of us have learned to use food in some way as a coping strategy, rather than really leaning into it for nourishment and nutrition and pleasure at times. So I really think that we learn so much about ourselves when we start to look at not just what we're eating, but like who we are as eaters. Yeah. And that carries over, because I was talking to a guy who's most likely going to hire me this morning, or my first client. And he was saying, you know, essentially, I want to tell you about the way I eat, because this pattern in my food, it shows up in my work. It shows up in my marriage. He goes, I finally realized that it's actually not the food. The food is like the symbolic version of me acting out the ways that I limit myself, or the ways that I don't handle stress, or the ways that I hide my truth. So I think it's just really vital. I remember working with a business owner. He owned a small manufacturing company that does awards. So he had like 10 employees. They do a couple $1 million a year. And we started really working in on his behaviors around food and how he'd say, well, this snack food or this food would have power over me. And really the only thing that worked was to challenge him and go, well, you know, this is a symbol for ways that you're letting other people in your life, namely some of your employees that have been around for a long time and your wife, have all this power, have all this responsibility over your reactions, your behaviors, your time. And so when we started working on him taking back the time and being willing to, you know, express boundaries, then the food behaviors changed naturally. So there's just this real interplay with how we take care of our body and how we take care of the other parts of our life.
And I think that is so important and so insightful, because, you know, you're not dogmatically pushing one approach, one eating approach in keto or, you know, paleo or vegan or what have you. You're really talking about the psychology of how we use food in our lives. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, it's so important. Because if it's not food, it's something else. It's Facebook, something else, right? It's Facebook. There's people who I see at the gym and it's like, oh, you come to the gym twice a day because you are not willing to face your stress. You know, I have friends who are marathon runners in high school and they're like, yeah, I was just running from emotions from my childhood. I never touched. So we all have strategies to cope. So when we learn to understand ourselves more through them, it's really liberating for all parts of our life.
So I want to talk now specifically about, you know, your role and your work helping, again, predominantly men. I don't want to limit it to just guys, because you have, you know, your client base is not exclusively guys, but
Yeah.
But let's be realistic and truthful. It's predominantly
Say it's been about 80% men. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Who are going through divorce or family mm-hmm. law situations. And I just wanted up front to say how important I think this is, because you know, as a family law practitioner or a reformed family law practitioner, I know that a lot of the complaints of attorneys in that space is, look, I want to practice law. I didn't go to law school to be a psychologist or a social right. worker. And please don't pull me into your drama. I can deal with the legal aspects of your divorce and your custody situation, but I really don't want to get into trying to make you a better person.
Right.
And so there are dozens and dozens of attorneys I know that wish somebody would handle that component. And the really forward-thinking attorneys mm-hmm. are doing just that by using somebody like you
yeah.
to work with their clients and satisfy that concern. And it makes their life as the attorney so much easier and so more productive.
Yeah, totally. And I love that about the fact that you see that. And you've even put me in touch with some people here yeah. locally that are doing that, and someone specifically doing that for women. And she was like, "I'm glad to know you're here, because I don't know who's doing this for men." But you're totally right. You know, lawyers, and doctors,
and let's just be real specific about that. I mean, she was a former guest on our show, Christy yeah. Zalakis.
Okay.
So I'm sure she doesn't have any problem with us re-mentioning her name. And she employs a woman who's a PhD psychologist to provide those kinds of services and resources to her female clientele. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show as well, is to show that it's also available for, again, predominantly men yeah. Who are going through the same thing. And it's such an important element and an emerging practice, I think, in the family law space.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really important. My life changed so much for the better because of that loss of my marriage, because it helped me start to look at the problems and to start to look at solutions and to start to have a vision for my life. You know, for me, I think it's a great point in a man or a woman, anyone's life, to stop and say, all right, well, this didn't work. What do I want now? And so you're right. Lawyers are not taught to be like a therapist or a psychologist. And that's certainly not where I put my work in, like the therapeutic side of things. But fundamentally, I know that a lot of people will resist the process, the legal processes of a divorce, because they're just not like ready. They're not ready to move to the next step. And they start unconsciously or consciously sabotaging it.
Well, so true. And I think to the extent that you are able to help your clients be forward-looking,
yes,
is the critical viewpoint in terms of being able to make progress. Because if you're always looking backwards about what you did wrong or what they did wrong or how you want to punish the other person for their behavior, instead of looking forward and saying, what do I want to create in the future?
Yeah.
Then you're never going to get anywhere.
Exactly. You got it. So that's one of the main things I do, is help people realize, you know, this was just a wake-up call. It's actually a beginning. It's an opportunity to create that life that you wanted. Let's paint a vision and let's look at what it would take to change internally, and then step by step externally. And so that's really hard, because we are hardwired to protect against loss. We're hardwired to seek out negativity and to find patterns. It's actually what's helped humans survive. But to be able to say, well, you know what? I now have a vision for my life. I'm going to move towards it. And to know our values. You know, I like to say, when we don't know what's important, everything is important.
Yep.
So when a client's arguing about, like, you know, which asset or which material thing they're going to get versus the spouse is going to get, it's literally just because they're not keyed into what the really important things are in their life. And so they're focusing on these small details that I imagine become a huge headache for most attorneys in the process.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, some of the kind of shortcut responses that we as attorneys give, particularly if there's family and children involved, we always say, well, we need to think of the children. Okay, yeah. We need to focus on going forward with respect to the children. And while that's 100% true, 100% accurate, it's so very hard for people to translate that into concrete steps.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly with respect to being able to identify the values that they want going forward for themselves and their children.
Yeah.
And the attributes of their life that they want to build and improve upon. And so talk a little bit about how you work with clients for that or to that resolution.
Yeah. So I think what's really important, and I don't know if I'm answering your question directly, but I'll answer part of what you said, which is it's one thing to say, well, let's think about the kids. It's another thing to help a client. I will help a client focus on who he wants to be as a dad.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's different. It's different
Hey,
don't be petty. It's like, what's the man that you want to be? And a lot of us, we secretly believe, whether we'll admit it to ourselves or not, that, well, I can't really change how I am as a dad per se. I'll kind of be just like my dad. I've tried really hard, but I slip into the old patterns. And I right away call BS on that and say, we actually can change. And you got to get clarity on what you want for custody and the time you're going to spend. You got to create clarity on the example that you want to set for your kids. Not like, how much money do you want to give mom or how much time do you want to give the kids? Who is it that you want to be through this process? Do you want to help show your kids and model healthy ways of moving through conflict, healthy ways of moving through big change and transition? How's your behavior going to impact them? Not what you give them, not what the finalization is on the piece of paper, but like, who are you being? How do you want to show up for them? And that right there is something almost instinctually that I see parents just get. It's like they get it in a different way than we think about the details of the divorce.
And I wish I could put that on a gigantic plaque and have that in the office, because there's so much truth in that statement, Joe. Because look, we're conditioned through all kinds of social responses that the whole process is a zero-sum game. Somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. And really, if you take that focus, just exactly like you said, what kind of person, what kind of man, what kind of husband, or father, what kind of mother do you want to be going forward? How do you want to teach your children to deal with conflict? If you come from that perspective rather than, hey, I won,
yeah,
you by definition are going to win.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of, I haven't used it in a long time, but I did a little kind of bait and switch video at one point for my website and for YouTube, where it's like how to win an argument with the woman you're in love with. Mm. And the whole premise was nobody wins an argument.
No.
That you have to be collaborative and you have to listen and you have to be co-creative and you have to use like consent-based communication. And if you're coming from the perspective of I'm going to win, you're already making sure that someone's going to lose, and it's probably going to be both parties.
What are some of the kinds of techniques that you use or mm-hmm. How do you go about this process? Is it just get on the phone and chat with the client?
Yeah.
Or are you working through some physical tasks or objectives? How does this kind of manifest itself?
Yeah, well, the great thing is for me, the work I do is very intimate and personal. So a client and I will co-create what's really important for them. We work via, unless they're right here in DC, sometimes we'll meet in person, but mostly we're going to work via a phone or Zoom, just like we're doing now. We'll do video. I do like to be able to see people rather than just talk. It's much easier to pick up on little cues and their facial expression or their energy shifting in front of me.
Sure.
But so that's like the logistics of that. What we always start with is some deep exercises on understanding the vision for their life. So I'm going to have them do that with a few homework assignments where they're kind of writing and journaling. We're going to do that through the discussion in our first couple of sessions. We're going to do some exercises on identifying core values. It's funny, when I ask people, it doesn't matter what stage they're in life or how great their life is or if their life's kind of, you know, going downhill, it's like, what are your values? And 90% of the time, people kind of draw a blank after a couple. And almost 90% of the time, you're going to hear honesty and family. And then they kind of got nothing after that. So we take a deep look at, like, what are the things that really light you up? What are the things that are important in this world that you're willing to fight for so that you know how to let go of the things that don't matter that much? And so sometimes that means doing work, like creating little experiments. Okay, so one of your values is health and well-being, but you say you're out of alignment with it. Let's, for the next 2 weeks, set up experiments. Let's set up little tasks to get you more in alignment with your health and well-being. Or you say it's integrity. Well, who's someone that you've been hiding your truth from? Let's practice and role play the conversation so you can go have that conversation. And you're probably going to make some mistakes and flub some things up, but it's nothing that can't be fixed. So it really depends on the person. But we're always going through and talking through what's been going on in their life. We do little moments of mindfulness. So if someone's not done any mindfulness practice, I'll literally have them do like a 1 to 3 minute little meditation within the beginning of a session to get grounded and clear, to get into a good state of their nervous system, mm-hmm. where they can have high executive functioning. Because a lot of the time we're rushing around being crazy. And then we just work through some of the beliefs that hold us up. We work through some of the emotions. Sometimes people really get stuck in emotion and they can't see clearly. So I help them understand the emotion. Okay, so you're angry. What's been violated? Okay, is it really been violated? Is it a value? Is it a belief? Is it your time? Is it your energy, your resources? Pragmatically.
Is this anger really giving you the payoff that you hope?
Yeah. And just getting real clear on, like, what would you want to do if you weren't angry? How can you come to that place? So it really depends. Most people, I am going to have them do some basic mindfulness work. Most people are going to have them do some regular exercise. And even if they're exercising already, let's see, is that really working? Or is it just something you started running when you were 20 and you just haven't changed it up? But really, it's about each week coming up with an experiment, a conversation, a habit, a routine, sometimes multiple, so that they're constantly working on something that aligns them with that vision for life, or something that aligns them with the parts of themselves that they openly admit, yeah, I'd like to change this part.
And what I hear there is growth.
Yeah. That's it. It's all about growth always. Yeah.
And then how does that manifest itself with the attorneys in that situation if you're working directly with them?
Mm-hmm. So working directly with an attorney?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm pretty hands-off. I will have clients who are going through divorce. They have their attorney. They often will also have a therapist they're working with too, and not just me. And I'll tell them, look, I'm open to chatting with these people if need be, but my work's with you. Yeah. It's not a prerequisite. Yeah. I don't need necessarily for the attorney to tell me what's going on. A lot of the time the client will say, yeah, my attorney wants me to send this letter and it's not the real tone that I want to send. And so I'll go, great, let's figure out where you want to come from with this. And then it's your job to go back to the attorney and talk to them.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly open to being in touch with people's other professionals that are part of their team. Because I do think we all need not really a team for success, especially in a big major life transition. We do need a team, but absolutely it's more a matter of, great, so go back and have this conversation. The thing that I think happens a lot when I'm working with guys in divorce is they actually are still communicating with the partner, with the spouse. And they're not at the point where it's only going through the attorneys. And they have to have a conversation. They have to go pick up the kids. They have to go do this thing. And so I'm really helping them understand where they want to come from in that conversation. And then if we need be, we can practice the communication skills so they don't get into the traps they've been in the past with their partner.
Yeah.
But to me, that like clearing up the drama between the partners really helps people move through the process more easily with a clear head. And I imagine helps attorneys quite a bit.
Well, I think that it's so important, the work that you do in this scenario, because It's the kind of thing that sabotages a lot of settlements, a lot of progress moving forward. People just can't get out of their own way, and they're not able to work on those new communication skills and create new settings and new environments and new pathways for themselves. And they just make it more difficult than it really should be. And this is the kind of thing that I think really can help somebody make that progress that's necessary in order to move on with their lives. And I think it's terribly important. And I hope that more of our audience and more of the people in the legal profession take advantage of the kinds of services you have to offer. Along those lines, Joe, how about we share with the audience how people could get a hold of you and kind of follow up if they have anything they want to talk about? And I understand you have something you want to make available to the audience.
Yeah, definitely. So you could go to my website, which is joebernsteincoaching.com/thelawentrepreneur. And I put up a site where you can actually get a PDF, which gives you some questions that you can ask your clients. If you're an attorney in family law and you have someone going through a divorce situation, there's some questions so that you can understand what's really most important to them, and you can help them right the ship if they're going astray. And also some resources specifically for men, some books, some podcasts, even a link to some men's community where they can actually get focused on what will help them heal and grow from the situation as well. So that I have right on my website. You can go to it, joebernsteincoaching.com/thelawentrepreneur, and download that. But you can always just also get in touch with me, joe@droptheArmor.com, or on Facebook, on LinkedIn. If you search Joe Bernstein and you find the person in Washington, D.C. with a medium-sized beard with a nice white patch, brown beard with a white patch. You know, you'll see my picture, and you'll see there's Washington, D.C. You'll see it says coach, and that'll be me. So you can always just connect via one of those platforms.
Well, we'll have all that information in the show notes for our audience to follow up with. And Joe, I just want to thank you for A, the work you do, and B, for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. I look forward to seeing you real soon now.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I really appreciate that you model leadership. I see what you're doing, and it's really to make other lawyers' lives easier and better. And, you know, if more people in the world were taking that approach, we'd all be in a better place. So thank you as well.
Well, I appreciate those kind words. Very kind of you. So we'll see you soon, Joe.
Fine.
Take care. Well, that will do it for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, the good folks at Call Ruby Receptionists and Jurisdiction, the providers of the Next Level Law Practice Program. So take a moment to visit our show notes and hop on over to their websites for special discounts and savings and other free stuff that you can get, and just support them because they make this podcast possible day in and day out. Also, if you got a couple minutes, pop on over to our own website, thelawentrepreneur.com. We have a couple little articles there. You can also listen to the podcast itself there if you choose to. And sign up for our newsletter or our mailing list. And we don't do a lot. You know, you're not going to bombard you with emails every week. And I do plan on doing a few more this year, but we'd love to have you join our community. And in that sense, you can also go on to our Facebook page. You can find us just by searching on The Law Entrepreneur. You can find out what we got going on a daily basis, sometimes hourly, on the Facebook page. So I'd love to have you join us there. And if you have the time, last but not least, go on over to iTunes, search on The Law Entrepreneur. And if it's something that you believe in and feel strongly about, we'd love for you to leave an honest 5-star review, as well as comments about what you like and dislike about the show, because it does mean a lot to us that you are our community, our listeners, and I want to thank you for making this all possible. So we'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur.